is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons rolls on WEEI right now. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937 still to come this hour. The Lions Den. Bruins just going into the second period, tied 0-0 against the Flyers. Now, the good news, John, is that the Bruins are 2-1-1 when they're tied after one. But it's the daggone Flyers who I think have maybe 7 points, 5 or 7 points total. So this is a team that you figure you need to jump on right away, and that hasn't happened. Are you concerned of like, okay, when you've got the lower teams, you're not really excelling. And then when you're playing against the teams that really seem to have your number or wants to have your number, you seem to turn it on at the wrong minutes.
Well, it's kind of like we were talking about before, too. Like that win against Toronto, 4-3 in overtime on Saturday, I thought could be a really pivotal win for the Bruins if, and big if, they build on it. Like you have Philadelphia tonight, then you play at Carolina Thursday. That's a really good team. But then you have Philly again on Saturday. It's like if you can win those two Philly games at least, then you have Seattle on Sunday. Like maybe if you can stack a few wins together, all of a sudden you go from a team that was 3-4-1 heading into that Toronto game that now maybe you have a winning record. You feel a lot better about yourself. So yeah, I mean, this is, again, it's early. But I feel like this is another one of those kind of important early season games tonight, because if you can build on that win against Toronto, then maybe you can start to stack a few wins together, and all of a sudden this kind of early season stumbling we've seen them take part in, maybe they can leave that behind.
I think the challenge is that we view this team as an above average team, but yet where they are right now is in the average, right? They're just underwater when it's goals for against the league average, and they're underwater when it's goal against. So, like, you're scoring less goals than the league average, and you're giving up more goals than the league average. But let me ask you this, though, because the last couple of seasons, we've just seen unbelievable starts. Maybe, in just the crazy way you're thinking, I would rather them see and try and figure some things out and get stronger versus then see the tail-offs that we've seen over the last couple of years. So is there a part of you that thinks like, okay, don't really lose a whole lot of sleep right now. Like at least the Corposalo isn't giving up any goals yet. And he's had 8 shots after one period. So like, that's a good sign right there. But do you feel like, hey, maybe if this team goes through a little bit of on ice adversity, being a bit average early on and then figuring it out versus saying, oh yeah, you guys are loaded, you spent, Let's run with it. You should be running through it like a butter through hot knife, and then fall apart right when we're just ready to get our beaks wet with this team. So maybe the other side of that could work here.
And that's certainly my hope. I'll tell you that, KJ. And you look at some of these guys so far, like Charlie Coyle only has 1 point so far this season still. Hampus Lindholm has 3. Zacha has 3. Like you'd think going forward, you're going to get more offensively out of those guys. And I think one of the issues they've had, their D-zone presence, at least before that Toronto game, was wildly inconsistent and at times really bad. And you think about it, well, Lowry's getting his first real full season of NHL action. Zadorov's new. Maybe those guys need some time to adjust, to gel together. And you did play Florida on opening night, which is about as tough an opening night matchup as you can get. You had to play Colorado, who you beat, but is talented. Utah, you had to go play. But like that loss to Nashville, and then you lose to Dallas, you look outclassed. To bounce back and beat Toronto, that's good, but you want to build on it. And some of those guys I mentioned, you want those guys to be part of your rebounding. Because you're right, 2 years ago when they had that bad upset loss to Florida in the first round, they faced no adversity all year until the last two games of that playoff series, right? Last year, I think they overachieved. They faced some adversity, but not a ton. But now it's like, okay, they can be better. Maybe they can be a cup contender. So if they can face this adversity and get by it, maybe they'll be better off in April and May as opposed to what happened a couple of years ago.
See, I thought that last year was the team that could sneak up on the league, right? Because there was so much expectation from 2 years ago that I thought last year's team would be more ready after that disaster that happened against Florida a couple of years ago. And then it just felt like, okay, maybe they aren't ready. And yeah, they need to make some moves and maybe they need to make some subtractions. So that's why DeBrusque isn't here anymore. But now you have to say, okay, what is this team going to be? And there is kind of a feeling if this team was off to a hot start and everything like that, there would be kind of a little bit of a bone in my body that said, I've seen this before. But if I'm seeing a little bit of kind of struggle right now, I'm not loving what's going on in the third period. They're 13 goals.
Can I give you a Castellanos moment?
World Series.
Freddie Freeman again, 2-run homer in the top of the first.
Yeah, we'll talk about the World Series.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's the MVP.
Six games in a row.
Normally, I would not give you, like, that. That's worthy of a Castellanos moment.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Let's go to break, and let's get into this conversation about the World Series, the Red Sox, spending. Could this be Juan Soto's last night in New York? I think it's all fascinating now, especially what's happening. And then, of course, the Bruins now into the second period, still 0-0 as we speak. Let's get to Trending with Zach Coe here on WEEI.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins back in action tonight, welcoming the Philadelphia Flyers to the TD Garden. No Jeremy Swayman in net for the Bees tonight. Junas Corposalo got the start. You just heard KJ said it. Well, 14:33 remaining in the second period. That score is still 0-0. Actually, scratch that. Flyers just scored 1-0 Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
Celtics have the night off tonight after beating the Milwaukee. That's a Castellanos moment for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Celtics have the night off tonight after beating the Milwaukee Bucks 119-108. They'll head to Indianapolis tomorrow for a playoff rematch with the Pacers. Patriots have the day off today. They'll return to practice tomorrow ahead of Sunday's matchup in Nashville with the Titans. No injury report has been released yet, so Drake May's status is still unknown. A lot of news in the NFL world today. Indianapolis Colts benching their 2023 first-round pick, Anthony Richardson, in favor of veteran Joe Flacco. Ravens acquired wide receiver Deontay Johnson and a sixth-round pick from the Panthers in exchange for a fifth. Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs tore his ACL in Sunday's matchup against the Colts, ending his season. And the Vikings acquired left tackle Cam Robinson from Jacksonville for a conditional fifth-round pick. Finally, Dodgers with a chance to claim the World Series title tonight in the Bronx after last night's 4-2 win. John just said it in the top of the first. Freddie Freeman has given the Dodgers a 2-0 lead. Ben Kasparius got the start for the Dodgers in a bullpen game. Luis Gil started for the Yankees. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lions coming up after this.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lions bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lions. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lions can.
KJ and Lions are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lions are bigly on sports. Read my lips. KJ and Lions are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lions work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lions. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
This is KJ and Lions on WEEI.
KJ and Lions on WEEI. Maybe during the Sinatra stretch, they can watch the comeback. The Yankees are already down 2-0 in game four. And John, it's interesting to watch what's going on. You know the first thing that jumps out at me about the Dodgers? You know the dance they do when they get on the base paths?
Yes.
Where did you first see that dance?
It's funny because it looks familiar, but I can't picture.
Is that Fenway? That's where I remember seeing that little kind of monster dance. Where, look, if there's one thing, let me backtrack saying that because I am not them. But you would have to feel a certain way if you're an organization, seeing one single player turn around an entire other franchise, getting people making decisions to come over there. And then and by the way, Mookie just grabs a ball.
Can we talk about what just happened with that? That's an out. Grabbing his hand. First of all, that guy should be kicked out. Second of all, that's an out. Yeah, that's an out, and that guy should get kicked out.
Well, he'll be kicked out. That's dangerous. Well, yeah, because you can't reach over, and that's rule of law right there.
And the way he's grabbing Mookie's arm, like you could, like the if Mookie came down weird on that, like yeah, he could get hurt.
But literally, that's exactly what we're saying. That's a yeah. If he never pulls at the arm, he's trying to pull the glove open.
Yeah, he wants the ball.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's look. I've seen guys try to like catch the ball over a fielder, but to like pull open his glove. That's a new one.
I mean,
that's
I know
that catch he made in Houston that got ruled fan interference times 10.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I almost
And then the other guy trying to pull him by his other arm. This is, I mean, this
also,
is.
Also, wasn't that in a clinching game?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, so, and it kind of proves my point. Like, literally, as we're starting to talk about Mookie Betts affects the game immediately.
Yeah, and even like, look, the Freddie Freeman stuff is freaking crazy. By my math, right now he's hitting .384 with four homers in the World Series.
You're doing math while you watch this?
It was on commercial break, yeah. But in order for him to do that, Mookie just hit a double in the top of the first. Like, it's amazing to me. Like, Mookie goes there, and what had been the MO on the Dodgers? They kept getting close and not winning, right? They lose the World Series in 17. They lose the World Series in 18. Both times, they lost it at Dodger Stadium. Then in 19, they lose a series to the Nationals, who eventually won the World Series. But I think that was a series the Dodgers were the better team. They still lose. Mookie gets there, and you have the abbreviated COVID season, but they win a championship, and I give them full credit for that, like I would anyone that won. Then, you know, 21, 22, they don't can't quite get back there. They add Ohtani, they add Freeman. Now here they are, up 3-0 with a 2-0 lead, a chance for Mookie's second World Series with the Dodgers, and he'd be the only active player in the major leagues with three rings if they win this series.
See, what's crazy is not only did Mookie put the Dodgers on his back, but Ohtani, you feel like, okay, he's going to come there. One, because there he was in California, and two, probably his bookie was right there. It's like, dude, it's a closer drive. You don't drive all the way to Orange County anymore. But you probably say he's going to be a factor in saying, okay, yeah, bring him in because that can only help. That's what you did with Freeman. And here it is. Ohtani's, think about it. Ohtani finally gets to the playoffs, and he's not even the story. He's probably the third story for the Dodgers in this World Series, like in terms
and
of tier.
I would even say the third story for the Dodgers, yes, and maybe the fourth overall, because up in there is Aaron Judge and his struggles.
Well, that's not a story.
Right?
That's
no, but I mean, that's a big, like, that's a story there. So, yeah, Ohtani at best is the third biggest
maybe
story.
Maybe fifth. Maybe say fifth.
Because and even like Tommy Edman, the NLCS MVP, like he's had some huge, he's almost come out of nowhere to be a huge part of this.
I actually think probably the bigger story, maybe even Judge's lack of performance, is what's going to happen with Juan Soto.
Like, that's another huge one.
I think that's the big one, because it's like, hey, there's not going to be enough at-bats left in this series for Aaron Judge to make it even look decent, right? Like, you're just not, like, once you're like in the 1-for-15s, you still need like another 15 at-bats just to be able to get you back to 300.
And I think what's really cool about the way the Dodgers have built this, and this is a lesson the Red Sox can take, right? Like, Mookie
Betts, going to take it.
They won't. But Mookie, in 2020, when they won the World Series, I think he had .292 in that playoff run. Right coming into tonight, he was hitting .291, and of course he had the double. So Mookie's playing well, Freeman's playing great, but then, like I mentioned, you have role players like Tommy Edman, Teoscar Hernandez, having big contributions throughout this playoff run. They, to me, that's what's the difference this year, is the Dodgers, top to bottom, have built a really good team. Like, for years, it was they had these two or three elite guys at the top of their lineup, and they had Kershaw in the rotation. And, like, 2020, it was enough for them to win, and they had Seager, too, then. But now they have all these other pieces. Like, even look at Jack Flaherty, the game one starter, right?
Before you get through the whole roster, let's get to the Red Sox part of it, because here's the deal. Someone like Tommy Edman would be the big spend for the Red Sox, right? That's where we are right now.
Where he's the ancillary piece for the Dodgers.
Right, where you have to ask yourself, if you're the Red Sox, what piece would you be, like, if think about it. In the past, if Juan Soto looked like he wasn't going to stay in New York, who was the first team that would have been a perspective where Juan Soto would have ended up?
Red Sox.
Now it's probably Baltimore or Philly.
Yeah, maybe the Mets.
Maybe
the
Mets.
Dodgers might throw the Dodgers,
Padres. Yeah, think
how crazy that is. The Dodgers could win it,
Phillies,
and still say Juan Soto come. And Mookie say, I'll go back to short if you need me to. This is why Mookie being such a cog of what's missing here, I'm not saying he could have done exactly the same thing here in Boston bringing those other players in, but they still would have had the conversation with him. And it's not like the Dodgers went and got a guy that couldn't find a home. They went and got a guy that wanted to stay where he was, and it was felt like that was just too much money. I still want to find the people who said that Mookie Betts ask for too much money. Like, I still want to hear
what's happening in this
playoff. I want to hear from them now because they said that Mookie would tail off in, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah, we're 4 years removed.
We're 4 years. And
he's close to winning his second World Series and being a huge part of both championships, I have to add.
Or how about last year into the last final, what was it, the year before, the final 2 weeks was like number two in the MVP voting for the National League.
Yeah, and if you look at what's happened to the Red Sox since they traded him. So 2020, last place, you know, he would have helped that team, but they were still a bad team. But 2021, you're 2 games from the World Series. You don't think Mookie Betts might have helped put you over
the top?
I think
you have a better roster because, right? Remember, J.D. Martinez was still here.
Yeah.
So like, you still had some pieces.
They missed the playoffs? Like, they missed the playoffs by 5 games. You don't think a player like Mookie might help you get over the top and you get in the playoffs this year?
But I'm saying he would have more players coming here to play with him.
Oh, yeah. So it would be an even better roster, yeah.
His presence in the lineup alone might have made Breslow act differently at the deadline and maybe pushed more chips in.
Or maybe you don't get Trevor Story.
Maybe instead of trading away Mookie Betts, you're the team trading for Juan Soto.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're talking about here, because I think you bringing up Soto is a fascinating point, because Soto's a guy, he won a World Series, I think it was age 20 with the Nationals in 2019.
Right.
He's still only 25. I think he turns 26 like in a week or two, don't quote me. But young guy in his prime, top 5 player in the game.
Someone you would give the 10-year deal to.
This would be a no-brainer for the Red Sox to give a 10-year deal to and a ton of money. But think about it. You could have said everything that we just said, KJ, you could have said last year about Ohtani, last year about Corbin Burns, last year about Dylan Cease, almost all, maybe not top 5, but almost all those things. And the Red Sox made no serious effort to get any of them.
I think the other part of it is I'm not saying there's a collusion. You know how they say, I don't want to use the word collusion, that could be big, but let's just say people are having conversations. So colluding and conversation on the same page, but the conversation part is. So, man, what happened in Boston? Mookie can now be freely honest. Come here. I see this as a different situation. You have to say that Magic Johnson plays a factor in it because you see a player, a former high-level player in the ownership realm. Now, I don't know if the Dodgers will be called to the carpet down the road on how they've done this, how they've pushed this Yamamoto and Ohtani money down to kick the can, but do you think they're thinking about that right now in the top of the second?
No, and so 10 years, so and that, look, that it, that will hurt them in 10, like year 11 through 20 coming up, they're going to have to pay $60 million a year to Ohtani, and that's going to hurt them, but you also got to remember.
But will it consider what the market would be?
Well, and that's the thing. So you got to remember, by then, maybe they've won 3 World Series and maybe 4. And they're going to be making so much money just of having had those guys there that they can, again, it's not chump change, but they can be able to handle it and still field a representative team.
Well, here's the other way why it might pay itself out. I think ultimately Ohtani will end up, his pitching career will go the way like of a John Smoltz. Right, like you dominate as a starter, and then as you get in your later years, you understand how to get outs early because that's how you were as a starter. You don't need a lot of time to really get warmed up to it. Like, this guy can end up becoming a reliever. Like, Ohtani, by the time he's done, he may have 100, 150 saves by the time his career is over. So if you're talking about in those later years where he's getting $60 million, let's say he's still giving you 30 home runs a year, but he could also give you 20, 22 saves a year. Like, that's not paying for itself right there. So, again, look, I think the comp for Mookie with the Red Sox, if you look where all the holes have been where the Red Sox have had since Mookie's left, Mookie played all those positions at considerable time in the league. Shortstop, second base, right field. What's been the issue here? Shortstop, second base, right field. And look, you don't think the $35 million would have covered it? I mean, think about it. That's when you have a situation like that, that's when players say, hey, man, I want to go up there and help that guy. You know, I want to be part of that Yankee rivalry. Because even when you think the last season, when the Yankees played the Red Sox, after the Red Sox were on like that little bit of a run into late June, June, right? When they showed the Yankees Red Sox game on national television.
It was the early July series.
That's right.
Yeah,
it got really good numbers because baseball fans still want to believe that the Red Sox Yankees are something. But if you're not putting real things out there on the field, like the Red Sox should not have any less than 3 names that baseball fans should be able to say right off the bat to say, oh, you've got so-and-so, you got so-and-so, and you got so-and-so.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you look at the teams that win the World Series, okay? Not every single year, but the vast majority of the time. That's kind of what they have 3-4 guys that everybody knows. Even the Rangers last year. Like, we don't think of the Rangers as a big market and all that. They have World Series MVP.
Oh, they're top five market, yeah.
Yeah, they have World Series MVP Corey Seager leading things. So they have just a Max Scherzer in that rotation. Nate Eovaldi. People know who those guys are. Like, that's
yeah, Dallas is huge. It's the fifth largest
market. No, but
I'm saying
it's traditionally, you know, they haven't won a World Series before.
They've just had ownership that's really not paid attention to the team.
But, like, if you look at teams that consistently, year in and year out, teams that have won the World Series, that's what they have. And the issue, like, look at the Dodgers and the Yankees, because the Red Sox, maybe they can't quite spend to the level of the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Why not?
But they can spend pretty darn close. And if you look at the way those two teams built themselves, it's a combination of great free agents, guys that they used prospects to trade for, and some of their own homegrown prospects that ended up being great. The problem with the Red Sox, Cage, is over the last 3-4 years, they've only done one of those three things. They've only done the prospect things. They haven't done the free agent thing. They haven't ponied up prospects to trade for elite talent, and you're just not going to win that way. You have to be able to do all three of those things. You look at even the teams that people harp on, oh, they built within, they built within. Like, the Royals in 2015 traded for Johnny Cueto. The Astros in 2017 traded for Justin Verlander. Like, you still have to be willing to pony up some money and pony up some prospect for assets. And they just haven't done it.
So here's what could be at play. And this is from a business perspective. I know the fans don't want to hear that. You own a Liverpool team that you're trying to sell. You've purchased the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that's a small market in a league in the number four league, right? So you're literally buying a team that has more history than really finances coming in. Like, the Pittsburgh Penguins do not move the NHL, and the NHL is trying to eat. I mean, the NHL fights with women's basketball for numbers sometimes. That's happened. So you've got that going on, and then you've got the Red Sox, where clearly there's a margin of positivity of, like, okay, you've got a very well-priced ticket. You've got a dedicated fan base. You've got a tourist destination. You've got a place that stays filled 80% capacity most of the time, no matter what. That's the moneymaker. But sometimes the way business works is, okay, I can't really spend, say, on the Red Sox because I've got these other things that are disasters or near disastrous needs. Like, Liverpool is operating at such a high debt. I know fans are like, I could care less about Liverpool, but it's all under the same ownership umbrella. And, oh, by the way, this team, this ownership team, may buy an NBA franchise too. So if that's going on, somebody's going to lose out on either the spending they used to get or the spending that they're hoping to one day get. It's going to be the Red Sox, right?
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I think the Red Sox are the team in that portfolio that no matter what, they're always going to make money because of the history, the fan base, the tourist destination of Fenway. So
and make it spent the less like, on the least amount on
them
in terms of what it can do. Right. Yeah. Liverpool
they're
as well.
Always going to make money.
Right. Liverpool is one of those teams where they don't pay out the way that Manchester United does or Manchester City. And that's become kind of the issue. It's like you can't spend with those guys. So therefore, how do you cut costs just to be able to compete in that area? Now, I will say this in fairness. Liverpool is on the world market. The Red Sox are not. So that's probably a different approach of why it happens. But you would say the Red Sox are going to be the one that suffers because if you underspend for the Penguins, do the Penguins fold? You know what I mean? Like, that's a real thing. And then with the NBA team, if they do get it in Las Vegas, that's all. It's kind of been at the hinted
the expansion
approach.
Fee for
the
that
expansion's
too.
Not going to be cheap,
right? So somebody, like some kids, some one of the kids got to go to bed hungry at night. Father, can we just get some starting pitching that people know about, and maybe if we kept Mookie, we would be able to survive on these ramen noodles that you've left us with.
It's almost like they're trying. It's almost like they're trying to be the Orioles. Where it's like, oh, we're going to build up for 5-6 years, and all of a sudden, all
these. Yeah, but who has 12 years of patience?
No, and you and I sure as hell don't, right? Like, but
we're not
like,
the only.
It almost feels like that's kind of what they're trying to do. And it's like, you're the Red. Like, that to me is, as a lifelong Red Sox fan, that's what really bothers me is you don't need. If I was a Pirates fan, KJ, or I was an Orioles fan, I would get it. I wouldn't love it, but I would get it. But I'm a Red Sox fan. They should not have to do that. They don't have to do that, and they choose to do that.
Think about it. They've made some money off of this comeback that everybody is watching, right? Like, it's like, if you want to stick it to them, don't watch the comeback, because like that puts money in their pocket. So yeah. It's like, how do you, like, they're going to look for other creative revenue ways to make revenue, but it doesn't necessarily mean because they're making more revenue, they're going to spend more because of more of that revenue. It might just get moved to another office. It might say, you know, that great Red Sox ticket season was able to get us a midfielder for yeah. Liverpool. We were finally able to get that transfer deal done. It would piss the fans off of the Red Sox, but you almost have to wonder, is this really going to change over the next 10 years?
I think if it doesn't change this offseason, it's not going to. And I know
people said that last year, like, the year before.
I know, right. And I know you and I, and you're probably sick of me saying it, I kept harping on it last offseason. All the pitchers out there, all the opportunities they had, and they didn't do anything to meaningfully upgrade the rotation. Now, the only saving grace and the only hope that I have that maybe it'll be a little bit different this offseason is, okay, the kids have come up and some of them are good, but they brought Theo Epstein back. And he's the only guy I can think of in baseball that can go to John Henry and Tom Warner and say, guys, knock this off. We got to spend some more money. He's the only, and he might not even be able to.
As an employee?
But because he did have significant sway over them, I think, when he was here. That's what I'm going back to.
But that's when they were spending.
I think he's part of the ownership group now,
He's the only guy. Like, and again,
okay, so he's in the room.
He might not even be able to pull it off. But he's the only guy I can think of in baseball that could walk in that room and say that, and they would actually listen. So I think this offseason it could be different, but if it's not, it never will be.
I think the only way it happens is if Liverpool gets sold. If Liverpool gets sold, then that's probably that's about $7 billion in your pocket.
A lot of expenses off the books too.
Well, that's a lot of, right? Let's say, just say it's $7 billion. You get $7 billion for the team. You take care of the NBA franchise. That's going to put you around $3 or $4 billion, right? Not saying that the Red Sox need a couple of billion dollars, but you probably say, The Penguins probably need a few a few hundred thousand dollars in investment, probably towards arena refurbishing, team structure, stuff like that, getting their salaries, and probably figuring out what happens after Sidney Crosby, you know, is done. And then you probably say, okay, with the Red Sox, maybe we can add another 20, 30 million to our operations of what we do or what we look to spend. And now you're back in the ballgame or in the conversation. At least that 20 or 30 can at least get you another superstar bat or a top-end pitcher, and not feel like you're flinching or losing anything, because at least the other monies are there from revenues and, you know, Netflix specials and stuff that you're able to license off as well. So, KJ and Lyons, the Lyons Den is next. Thank you so much for hanging out on WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI. We thank you so much for hanging out. Look, the show is serious. That's the John side. The not so serious, that would be I. That would be my real life, too. I guess the only thing that really being married for like over a dozen years, I think it's the most important thing to be serious about. Like, so much, you know, John, I've been telling you that my daughter is now engaged and is planning a marriage and a wedding and stuff like that. I said, hey, look, you'd want to get it right. Don't even complain about the prices for the food and stuff like that. You know, we'll help you out with that stuff, because I don't know if you know people who've been married like for a second time. Like, their second marriage is usually in the backyard, and they just fire up the grill for the food.
Yeah, a lot more low-key.
I said, so enjoy this now, because you don't want to be like, yeah, we're in love. I'm in love again, found love again, and we're just firing up the grill, and my husband's already, he's already left, and he's down there while he's watching the game. You know, we just, you know, I would love to see the statistics. How many second marriages last after a person's been through a first marriage, right? Like, if both people have been married before and then they get married a second time, does it last?
I feel like it does most of the time.
I think there's probably a higher incident of it lasting shorter, right? Because it's almost like you would know what you're not going to put up with because you've seen it in the first one, yeah, right? Like, you have no problem saying, get the hell out.
Yeah, but I feel like people who get married the second time around kind of vet that stuff better beforehand. You know what I mean?
Like, sometimes you know, the love can get real good. Be like, oh, okay, sure, we can do this, you know. Or sometimes it's like you might have kids that are now out of the house, and you're like, okay, the dog can only do so much for me, you know. So maybe we'll get married. I'd love it. Look, this is not the show that, like, on the morning shows I used to do, like, you know, hey, people got married the first time, stay married 50% of the time. I would like actively go look for that. This I'm actively going to look for, like, Bruins power play numbers and why they're giving up like 13 more goals in the third period than they are to their opponents. That's the stuff I go look for, right? So it's very interesting, though. So yeah, I'm watching it all. And I have another daughter, which I'm like thinking, damn, I'm going to have to go through this again. Like, I've had people like, is it like Father of the Bride? I'm like, the Father of the Bride movie is over in 2 hours. This is the rest of your life.
This is a year,
and it goes on for the rest of your life. So, but he's a great guy. He was teammates with Keenan Allen when they were in high school.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, so they're a high school football team. Like, every year my daughter was in high school, they won their state championship. Who's the other kid?
I would imagine so.
Yeah, he was the left tackle of the team. And so at one point I'm thinking, you know, I'm kind of telling one of my buddies, I'm like, do you know what I'm about to be doing for the next 18 years? Brother, we're going to go to every stadium in the NFL 2 or 3 times. But, you know, football is that you could be on a state championship team and just, you know, not really be your thing, but you know, so I guess my daughter was smart to get a guy that was like bigger than me, because I'm what, 6'4", almost 6'5" now when my posture gets better. I had an acupuncturist over there in Copley Square. He told me, I forgot his name. He said, oh man, like if you had like A plus posture, you would be close to 6'7". I was like, there's no way I'm hunching by like 3 inches. But then I looked in the mirror, I was just like, damn, my shoulders are like almost near my ears, you know, so. Yeah, I mean, so I'm proud of her. I guess that's a personal moment, you know, like when your daughter gets married.
It's pretty
not
cool,
political.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
so
she's
do you
not...
want to do a live broadcast from the wedding?
Hell
would that be frowned
no.
upon?
Like, okay. That would be, I mean, my wife, I would, and I mean, probably be very enjoyable radio.
Yeah,
here
let's
in
do just a Jag with the wedding guest.
Yeah, like, it's like, let's see what's here on the table. Yeah, Jag.
Is she a Jag?
Yeah, well, like, let's see the going through the gifts and just step into it. It's like, hey, you've had all season. Nobody coached you up, and this is what you come with the gift. So the only responsibility she has given me at this point, outside of kind of like, so how much of this you want to pay? I was just like, let me tell you about when my wife and I got married and how we handled this. Is I've got to come up with a daddy, father-daughter song for us to dance to. And she said it can't be any sappy Luther Vandross.
So like, but she did not say it cannot be one of your parody songs.
You're trying to ruin my child's marriage before she starts.
No. What was you had the Stan parody song? Who's on the mound? Oh, that's a good. Who's on the mound would be a good song for you guys,
John. I can't wait for Denzel to come out in Gladiator 2. But I'm literally tempted to putting you into Gladiator 2 and throwing that ass into that lion's den, recommending to me to play my parody songs at my child's wedding.
I'm just
wedding.
Trying to hype you up.
Or
man.
You could write a new one.
Yes.
I'll write a new one about that day. You know?
You could do that.
I don't know. What would I call it? Dreams of free agency?
Yeah. We can, you know, we have a year. So we can.
Not even a year. They're getting married in February.
Okay. This coming February?
This coming February.
Wow, that's coming quick.
Yeah, well, so I hope it doesn't, actually.
4 months?
Pause. Yes, yeah, I mean, right. It's like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, wedding next month. Yeah, my daughter likes to take control of some things. I get it, you know, but hey, it's not over me. But there's, so I've got to come up with that. I asked my wife, and my wife is like deep into lyrics, and I didn't want to say out loud. I was like, that doesn't sound good. Then I thought about like John Mayer's daughters, but then like everybody, I don't know this song. This is why I got to diversify your playlist here, people. You know, so then I thought about one of our favorite songs, which is by Gwen Stefani and Pharrell, Can I Have It Like That, which used to be our favorite song. But then people would be like, you're weirdos. And then like a lot of current like songs that they listen to over the last dozen years, like there's nothing quality to play. What are we, like, WAP? You know, is you could play that at the reception. You can't play that at reception. It's a popular song.
You could play Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani. That would
yeah,
be good.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? I would almost say suggestions on the text line, but because I'm generally not liked, I'm not taking suggestions from the text line. Unless you followed
unless
me during my
one.
Days. Yeah, unless it's a good one. Or you followed me from my R&B station days when I was doing mornings here. I would have a level of trust with that text that would come in. Because they'll be like, okay, we know about KJ's daughter. In fact, real quick, my old co-host decided to jet right as we were like getting shifted into another company. We were like, hey, everybody has to be there for the mornings. So I literally threw my daughter into as my morning co-host one year, like one day. So, yeah, so they would know her. So they would trust. Like, she's getting married? Yeah, she's getting married. Okay. All right, you ready to do the special edition of Lion's Den?
I certainly am.
All right, but the intro's the same. Hit it.
See the one about lions?
Yeah, loose to this head after.
King of the jungle.
All right, for Halloween, instead of roar or meow, it's are they going to be scary or not scary? First, will the Dodgers be scary the rest of this game and finish off the Yankees?
I think they will. Yankees did just score a run to make it 2-1, but I don't know, man. The Yankees feel already kind of like a defeated team, and the Dodgers are playing at a different level.
Oh, jeez. That scared you, didn't it, John?
Yeah, is that going to be you and Fitzy tomorrow night?
No. When I ran that into the system, wow, I actually jumped.
Oh, Jesus. Next, will the Dodgers... I did not think this would go off the rails at 8:56. I thought it would be 9:56 before that happened. Will the Dodgers and Yankees inspire the Red Sox, or would the Red Sox not be scary this offseason?
I think they will inspire them. I said it before, but if they don't do it this offseason, I'm never believing in it again.
Jesus, it got me again. Will the Celtics continue to be scary in Indiana tomorrow night?
Yeah, Pacers are going to give them a lot, but I think the Celtics win.
Can we just play what it sounds like to not be scary so the given idea? Because nothing was scary to John. It's KJ Lyons. We continue next talking Patriots. Gerard Mayo, has he righted the ship? Thank you so much for being here on WEEI.